The following was at the Frying Pan Meeting the second Sunday in July 1974.
I'll turn to page 152, the last hymn on that page, which is a very familiar hymn and written by Newton, who evidently knew the longings and the desires and prayers of the Lord's people. When he said, "Hungry and faint and poor, behold us, Lord, again assembled at thy mercy's door, thy bounty to obtain. Thy word commands us nigh, for we must starve indeed. For we no money have to buy, no righteousness to plead. The food our spirits want of thy hand alone can give. Oh, hear the prayer of faith, and grant that we may eat and live." May we stand as we sing. God, before thy great and majestic throne, we come, O Lord, trembling this morning, realizing our creature distance between thee and us, and at the same time realizing also that thou hast given a mediator, the only mediator between our God and ourselves. So, Father, it is in his name that we would come this morning, not in our own name, because we've learned that of ourselves we have no standing with thee, because we have sinned against thy law, not only in the sin of Adam, our forefathers, but we've been sinners every day that we've ever lived. Thou hast made us to know something of the majesty of thy power and thy glory, and that thou art the only true and living God, a sovereign God, one who works his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And when we are feelingly made to realize how unworthy as well as unable we are to come before thee out of God, even in prayer. We come, O Lord, praying in the name of that mediator, Jesus Christ, thy Son. O Father, can it be thy will to hear us this morning? We would not try to tell thee what we think thou oughtest to do, but only pray if it could be according to thy will that thou would give us grace, that we might from the very depths of our souls pray that thy will be done, and that we be given grace, O Lord, to be reconciled to whatever thy will is, because we realize that all of our days, all of our times are in thy hand. All of our footsteps from the beginning of our mortal lives have been in thy hand. Oh, Heavenly Father, what a gracious God thou art. I should have looked down from thy high and lofty throne upon sinners who had transgressed every law that thou hast ever given us, and hast provided, in spite of all of our unworthiness, thou hast provided and given thine only begotten Son, even him, that he should be a sacrifice to make the atonement for all the sins of all thy people. O Lord, we would thank thee. We would praise thy name. We would exalt thy name above every name that has ever been named. And yet sometimes, O Lord, as thou knowest our weaknesses, sometimes we, though we may feel the desire and the necessity of prayer, but sometimes we can't pray. But when thou dost indite a matter in our heart and enable us to pray, an opening is made, O Lord, by thy Spirit, so that even thy trembling saints come before thy throne, praising, adoring, and begging of thee according to thy will, that thou wilt yet remember us in mercy. O Lord, wilt thou this morning be with us in thy Spirit, that we might be lifted up a little while above the turmoils, trials, sorrows, tribulations, and all the things that we as mortal men and women are heir to as we live from day to day. Wilt thou, Lord, stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance of those things that thou hast provided for us, that we might by thy Spirit be enabled to look beyond these mortal scenes and rejoice in that hope that thou hast given us of heaven and immortal glory. We come, O Lord, as helpless sinners, but thou knowest us altogether. Wilt thou give us, O Lord, that we might be confirmed in the exercises of our hearts that thou hast given us in days of the past, that we might feel once again that hope that thou hast given us is a good hope. O Lord, thou who knowest what each one of us stand in need of, if it is thy will, Father, to give us a hearing ear and an understanding heart, and bless us to speak in thy great name this morning. We know that thou art not worshipped just in the hands of men, or by the hands of men, or by the will of men, but thou who art a Spirit art worshipped only in spirit and in truth. And oh, we know that we cannot control or direct thy Spirit. We would pray thee, Father, if it seems good in thy sight, to put out thy Spirit in our poor hearts this morning, that we might have a freedom, that we might contend earnestly for that faith, and only that faith, that thou hast delivered unto thy people. Be thou with us, O Lord, through the further journey that thou hast allotted to each one of us, we know that we're in thy hands. And oh, how we know that we're in good hands. Lord, be thou with us all the way through this our mortal journey. And when it comes our time to go the way of flesh, may we feel that peaceful, joyful, and all the wonderful and glorious things that thou didst give us in the hour when thou didst reveal to us what sinners we were and brought us to that new birth. Oh, what a glorious God thou art that should have mercy, or would have mercy upon us. Father, be with us while we live. May all the praise, the honor, and the glory be thine. Now and evermore, we beg for Jesus' sake. Amen. If I should speak my thoughts, my friends and brethren, I would begin by making a good many excuses this morning. But I know that those were not profitable. And I have sometimes felt, and I did express, the fact that I could desire that I did not have to come to a meeting this morning, because I feel so barren, feel so unable. And especially when I remember what a great, wonderful, wise people the Lord's people are, I've come fearing and trembling. The thought that I have in mind, which came sometime about 9 or 10 o'clock, I think it was, this morning, is an old subject. And I have an idea that some of you, maybe all of you, have heard me mention these things before. But I have nothing new in reality to bring before you, because all things pertaining to the gospel of the Son of God point directly or emanate from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I feel sure you would not want me to omit, even if I could, speaking of the Son of God, who is our gracious and merciful Savior. I've turned to some language of the Apostle Peter in the first chapter of 2 Peter, beginning at the 10th verse and reading until we come to the end of perhaps of the thought that the apostle is expressing here. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail, never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. "What unto you do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts." Knowing this first, that the prophecy of the scriptures is of, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There's another scripture that I looked up a few minutes ago, if I can find it now, that I would like to call your attention to. And it's a scripture that you have read, you've heard me speak of it and quote it many times, but it seems to me that it comes in line with the thought I have in mind, that the Lord is pleased to give me wisdom and knowledge and understanding. It's the language of Jude, the servant of Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God unto lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It behooves everyone who names the name of Jesus, who makes a profession of being a follower of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it behooves every one of us to be sure that we understand, as far as at least the reading the scriptures are concerned, we understand the language, the doctrine that Jesus himself preached. And of course, the things that the apostles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preached as they were enabled by the Spirit of God, as the apostles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm sure that there's not an organization in all the world that has any kind of an organization, but has their bylaws, has their, shall I say, doctrines laid down, and they ought to be, and most of them are, I suspect, very zealous that they carry out the things that they have decided should be the rule in their organization. How much more so, my friends and brethren, should those who profess to have been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God, those unto whom it is said that God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts, to give us the light, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, how much more so ought we be very careful, as far as God gives us grace to be careful, that we do not, as the apostle on another occasion, when he said that we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The doctrine of Jesus preached, my brethren and friends, is I hope that we realize, is the gospel of the Son of God. And just as sure as we get away from the things that Jesus preached and the things that the apostles preached and contended for, just that far are we not contending earnestly for the faith that God delivered to the saints. Jude, as I read to you, he said, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you that you exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now what I'm trying to say is this. Jesus preached the doctrine. The apostles preached the doctrine. And upon this doctrine, the church of the living God is based, shall I say, or formed. And it was upon this doctrine, which was common, as Jude said, the common salvation, is upon this doctrine that every church was organized by the apostles in the early days. And it was upon these principles that Peter and Paul and Jude and John and all the others of these, the Lord's servants, they contended for these things and would not have anything else but what they found it. Thus saith the Lord for it. So my brethren, there have been, as John said upon one occasion, he said, talking about the things that had been brought into the doctrine of the Christian church, he said search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Now, how many of us really search the scriptures? I hope we all do. I hope we search the scriptures. But if you're like I am, I search sometimes and can't find anything. Then I made the wonder. John said, try the spirits. Try the spirits. I'd like to read that because I'm afraid I can't quote it. Don't find it readily. Try the spirits whether they be of God or not. For many ungodly men came forth in that day, and they're in this day, that are preaching for doctrine, as the apostle said upon one occasion at least, they're preaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Now I have been insisting, my friends, as you know, my brethren, I have been insisting that the Bible is the Word of God, the written Word of God. That God enabled his servants, holy men of old, they were called. They inspired them to leave upon record everything that is necessary to be known by the children of God in this world. All the doctrine, all the order, all the discipline, everything that is necessary is found in this book. And whenever we get away from those things, whenever we get off of these things, and preach things and contend for things, or have things in our doctrines that are contrary to the things that are written in the Bible, just that far are we away. It is a peculiar thing that many people love the name of Jesus. They love the name of the gospel. But so many of them are like I believe it was David in Psalms. He says, there's a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So many people who have not been taught of the Lord, because I feel certain to say that those who have been taught of the Lord, they know the truth, they know the doctrine of God our Savior, and they would follow that as much as the Lord gives them grace to follow that doctrine. And they would not follow any other man, any other doctrine. Now there are many, many different things which men use to illustrate the things that they think the scriptures teach. We have all kind of mythology. We have everything that tends to excite the carnal mind in men. We have all of these things. But my brethren, we do not need, there is no necessity for any man to bring in things outside of the teaching of the scriptures, or even of illustrations of the scriptures, in order to prove a point. As sure as we do those things, we are leaving the principles of the doctrine of God our Savior, and we begin then, and almost 100% of the times, we begin then to be teaching the doctrines of men. You know that the Apostle Paul, of whom we quote so much, that he said, when he knew that there were men teaching things, even in the early church, that were not sound doctrine, he said, if we are an angel from heaven, and notice what he says, if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other doctrine than that which he have received, let him be accursed. Now that's pretty strong language. But to emphasize it, he repeated that thing. If we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel. Maybe he said any other doctrine than that which you have received, let him be accursed. And Peter, you remember, Peter was insisting upon these things that the Lord had revealed unto them. And showing that it was by revelation. Now, if we do not have the working of the Spirit of God in our hearts, if we do not have a revelation, we must remember, my friends, that the scriptures are the truth as it is in Jesus, cannot be learned, cannot be taught by the natural learning or wisdom of men. When Peter, in replying to the question that Jesus said, whom do ye say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, I'm scattering about, but my mind now goes to what Peter said upon another occasion. When he was talking to the brethren, talking to the church, he said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh thee a reason of the hope that lies within thee with fear and trembling. Another one of them, probably Peter himself, said, he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ hath the witness within. Now the question is, my brethren and friends, do we have the witness of Christ within? Have we been taught of the Lord? Or have we just that head knowledge which says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Or do we have some witness within us that is really a revelation? And we have something within us. I know that people, many people who hear the Lord's people, I should say, talking about an hope of eternal life and the reason of a hope, that I said that Peter demanded to those brethren to give a reason of the hope that lies within you with fear and trembling. Those who do not have these peculiar, important, deep experiences, they don't know what the children of God are talking about. Well, what do you mean by give a reason of the hope? You brethren and sisters know this, I'm sure. I hope all of us do. It's given an account of the way that the Lord has brought us out of darkness, which means out of flesh, out of sin and condemnation, brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. The Lord has his own way of bringing each and every one of his children out of this darkness into the marvelous light. And whatever it may be or have been, your experience, and I hope my experience, though it may differ in detail from yours or somebody else's experience, and yet the end result is that the Lord teaches his people what they are in the flesh. And this is proved by the apostle said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Now my friends, all these years I've been insisting, from not only from a personal experience, as I hope, but I've been insisting that every human being, from the very first after Adam transgressed the law, is dead in trespasses and in sins. Dead, I don't mean half dead. I don't mean that he has some life. But I mean, so far as spiritual things are concerned, we're all dead in trespasses and in sins, and we shall remain dead until and unless there is a quickening by the Spirit of our God. Therefore, when the apostle said, you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, and telling them that they have the same Spirit that now dwelleth in the children of disobedience, and we walked in the same paths that they walked, but now we've been quickened. We've been quickened by the Spirit of our God to realize that we were dead in trespasses and in sin. But we didn't know that before. It took, therefore, the quickening power of God to do that, to make us to know that, those things. And therefore, my friends and my brethren, when we begin to talk about what great things the Lord has done for us, we will always go back to, I remember the place. I don't know exactly the time, it doesn't matter how I feel, but I do remember the place. And I feel like that the Lord revealed himself to me as that I was a poor, hell-deserving sinner. And I realized that too. I felt so unworthy. I felt like that, as I've told you sometimes, that I would die that night and never wake up living in the land of the living. But something took place. Now, I feel the hope, and so do you, that while we may feel that these evidences that we have are not sufficient, sometimes we feel we don't have sufficient evidence. But my brethren, you will never hear and never read of the Apostle Paul complaining about the way that the Lord brought him out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God, because it was with an overpowering voice and a light that shined from heaven that brought him out. And it taught him something that he didn't know before, because he was before this, as Saul of Tarsus, he was a vile persecutor. He was a vile man that despised the name of Jesus and the doctrine, and everyone that followed him and admitted or declared that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But when the Spirit of God came to him as he was on the outskirts of the gates of Damascus, when that Spirit came there, the Lord implanted something in his heart. He implanted something in his very being that turned him around from being no longer Saul of Tarsus, but Paul the Apostle, by the grace of God, Paul the Apostle and the preacher of the gospel of the Son of God, and no longer denying that Jesus was an apostle, but now preaching that Jesus was the Christ, that he arose from the dead. And ever after that time he preached just that Jesus was the Christ and he arose from the dead, which he had been denying heretofore. And so, my brethren, we find all of these things so wonderfully written, not only in the Scriptures, but also written in our hearts. I am firmly of this understanding, I feel, my brethren, that the only way that we know that the Scriptures are true, the only way that we rejoice in the Scriptures, is to have the same Spirit that enabled men, holy men of old, to write as God moved them. To have that same Spirit to come or to be sent unto us, teaching us by that same Spirit, teaching us the doctrine, teaching us the things that Jesus preached and contended for. And so you see, my brethren, what a wonderful God our God is. I think of John, John, yes, who said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Think of that for a moment, if you can. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. When we remember, when we brought face to face with the fact that we are dead in trespasses and in sins, without God and without hope in the world, but to think that this God, the Maker, the Creator, the Sovereign God, loved poor sinners whom He had chosen in His Son before the world began, and gave His Son here to be the ransom from them, from all their sins and all their iniquities, that God should love a poor sinner. Now our natural reaction to these things are, well, that when a person breaks the law, when a person breaks the law and is not trying to do the best he can or anything like that, why, we look down upon him. But thanks be unto our God, He doesn't deal with sinners like we would deal with sinners if we had the opportunity. But God loved His people. He loved His people. He loved them. He chose them in Christ before the world began. And He sent His Son here in the fullness of time, in God's time. He sent His Son here, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And so, my brethren, the burden of our thoughts this morning, my thoughts this morning is, that is, God has done great things for us, that God has laid down in the Scriptures wonderful and glorious things for us that He testifies or is testified of by the writers, James, John, Peter, Paul, and all of these, that we, my brethren, should be very careful that we do not just follow after every wind of doctrine. There are many, many things that are being preached today in the name of Jesus, which are not, my brethren, the things that Jesus has taught, not the things that are laid down in the Bible. Now, Jesus said, you know, He came here for a certain specific purpose, which was, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of the Father that sent me, and so forth. And He said, I came to do that purpose, the will of the Father. And He also declared, He said, all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me. Now, my brethren, Jesus did not have to say that but one time. It is said many times throughout the Scriptures, but that is the truth of this matter, is said throughout the Scriptures, throughout the New Testament. But He doesn't have to say it but one time, that all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, to make us to know that this is true. But then He goes a little bit further and He says, no man can come unto me except my Father which sent me draw him. So you see, brethren, the doctrine of God our Savior and all of these things that we love so dearly are the things that Jesus wrought out for poor sinners when the Father sent Him here into the world for this specific purpose, to redeem those that the Father had given Him. Now there's a lot of question in knowing in the minds of men about the election of grace, that God chose His people before the world began. I'm going to say again, I know I said it not very long, maybe at Mount Zion, not long ago, I said that Jesus did not come here, nor neither was He interested in the salvation of the whole world. Before you condemn that thought, if any of you would like to condemn it or any thought, please read the Scriptures, search the Scriptures, and to see if Jesus didn't say just what I quoted, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that of all that the Father hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And then when men talk about we must do great things, we must teach, we must do this, that, and the other, do we not realize that it is the Spirit of our God that brings those that the Father had chosen in His Son before the world began? He brings them out. No wonder the apostle said, being confident of this very thing, that he that had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus.